Two questions that come up quite often in our world are how many of something do I need, or how many of something should I declutter? The answer to that is not straightforward. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of using numbers in your decluttering journey.
You're listening to the Declutter Hub podcast, bringing you tried and tested, no-nonsense tips and advice from the leading experts in decluttering and organising your home. Now here are your hosts, Ingrid Jansen and Leslie Spellman.
Hello and welcome, listeners. I'm Ingrid.
And I'm Leslie. We're delighted you're here to join us as part of your decluttering journey. So whether you're brand new today or have been listening to us for ages, we want to say thank you so much for being here. It means so much to us that you're here to listen to and support us while we talk all things decluttering and organizing.
We'd love to help more people with their quest for a clutter-free home. And our podcast is a fantastic way for people to be inspired to take action. We have a favor to ask. If you like what you hear, be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button on your podcast player, share us with your friends, or share your thoughts on the podcast by leaving a review. Well, Leslie, we are back with a brand new episode, and I'm excited to talk about today's podcast, how you can use numbers to declutter your home.
Yes, it's an interesting one, really, because while we've been preparing it, we're very conscious that we use numbers all the time. It does not pass us by that we do 10 things podcasts and we talk about numbers with regularity. At least once a month we do a 10 things podcast. We have a very special challenge coming up in the next couple of weeks that we're going to talk about probably after the break, which is all about numbers. So we do use numbers in our decluttering journey because people like numbers, right? Because it is gamification. And many people thrive on gamification, right, Ingrid?
I mean, how nice it is. I mean, you know, when you do like, when have you got a, you know, like a pedometer on your phone, like a step counter, and then when you've done so many steps, it says, "Woo, you've done your steps for today." It makes you feel good, doesn't it? So that number in that moment counts.
It does count. It absolutely does. So I think gamification is a big deal. It's one tool that we can use on a decluttering journey. But I think that's probably going to be the message of today, is that it needs to sit alongside other strategies. So not that I want to give a spoiler, but that's basically going to be the crux of what we're going to say today. So it was interesting because we were like, let's talk about it in the context of what's coming up for us in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, the 10 Things podcast that we do. Where do we find numbers used on a decluttering journey, and what do we think about that? So, of course, there is things like numerology that we need to talk about, which is something that you and I have got no clue about, and so we're not going to delve into it. But we wanted to talk about the fact that some people believe that the universe then is telling us like what kind of numbers are going to work for us in our lives. And people live it, eat and breathe by that kind of thing, right? And so numerology is one, but it's not something that we can really talk about because we haven't got a clue about it. But when I did a quick Google search on using numbers to declutter your home, there was no shortage of things coming up with different types of gamified ideas and strategies about what you can do. We wanted to talk about a couple of those. You know, maybe talk about what we think would work, what we think won't work, where numbers fits into our strategy in the Declutter Hub as well, and why we think there needs to be more than just the number. Yeah. So the first one that we came across, which is obviously a big guy in the decluttering world, and particularly in the minimalist world, is Joshua Becker, very well respected all over the decluttering industry. And one of his big ones is the 12-12-12 rule. So basically, you have to find then 36 items, you throw 12 away, you donate 12, and you have to return 12 to their rightful home. That's my understanding. I'm not like very familiar with it, but it came up on Google. So what do we think about that idea?
You know what? if you decide to donate something, I'm always behind it, right? I think that's fantastic that you identify items to donate. For me, items to throw away, there will always be things that unfortunately have to be thrown away because they're old, they're not working anymore. And finding new homes for items, I think, is fantastic as well. But it kind of occurred to me when I saw this, I was like, oh, but that means like 2/3 of things have got to go. That is indeed a very minimalist outlook, isn't it? That you let go of a lot of stuff. And I thought, ooh, some of our listeners might feel this is a bit too cold turkey for them, the 12, 12, 12 rule.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I like it in principle. I can definitely see people latching onto that and using it as a strategy. But as you say, it's quite radical decluttering, you know, particularly if you're already minimalist or working towards that, to find 36 things. I'm not quite sure about the time scale. Surely that can't be in one day, because that would seem like a lot to try and find 36 things in one day, unless you're actually devoting a full day to decluttering. I think it's quite prescriptive as well. I just wonder whether you would be trying to find something to fulfill the gamification side of it rather than making decisions for the right reasons. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think you can say before you start, A, that you want to find 12 things or 36 things in this instance. What happens if you found more that you wanted to send to their rightful home, or more to donate than to throw away? Or I just wonder whether the numbers mean that it's very prescriptive. That's my initial thoughts. I've not done it.
No.
I've not spoken to anybody who's done it, so I don't know. Maybe some of our listeners have done it and they can give us some insight into that. But for me, as an initial like idea and understanding the decluttering world and how people's minds work when they want to set about decluttering, I just wonder whether it's just that little bit prescriptive for me.
Or what if you can't find 36 things? Or when you've got like no time that day? Oh, I'm like, I'm already getting like, oh, or hot about it, Leslie.
And it might not be that day. It might not be on a day. We didn't look at whether that's a day. I mean, presumably you can use that rule however you want to. But I think that's the thing about the numbers, is I just think it doesn't really allow for either falling short of it a little bit and still feeling accomplished. Because if you don't get your 36, you're going to feel like you've failed that game effectively, aren't you? So that worries me a little bit.
There was another one that
came up as well, which is Mrs. Hinch. And so Mrs. Hinch is a big UK influencer, particularly in the cleaning world, but also kind of obviously spreads herself into decluttering and organizing, which runs alongside that. So Mrs. Hinch is very well regarded and comes up with different ideas and hacks and stuff like that. And so, but I think it's fair to say that most people in Mrs. Hinch's world are probably fairly organized already as well, because obviously people who are really going down the route that she was, we're talking about very beautifully organized homes typically with Mrs. Hinch, right? And so she's got an idea, which you fill a jar with numbers with 1 to 30 on them. And each day you pick a number and you have to find that number of items to declutter that day. So if it, you know, so you might be 1, it might be 30, it might be anything in between that. Seems like quite a lot, because if you're doing that over a month, to me, who's to say that you've got time on the 7th of the month to do 29 items?
Yeah.
That's what worries me about that, is that we sit behind it and go, if you're going to do some decluttering and think about it, you need to plan when you've got time, you need to break it down, you need to fit it around other things. You might need to declutter while you're doing something else, like whatever, you know, just when you find something. So I would be nervous that would be the failure side of it that I find I would be nervous about. Well, I haven't got time today to do 29 items or whatever. So therefore, I've got to then piggyback it onto tomorrow, and then tomorrow I might get 22, and then I've got 51 that I've got to declutter. Do you know what I mean?
So it's you never get a low number, right? The day after, you would always get another high one.
Exactly. So I would be nervous about that side of it, particularly if you're somebody that has struggled in the past to find the time to declutter and it's not been your primary focus. Some of the people in Mrs. Hinch's world might be right on it and love decluttering, love organizing, love cleaning. And we've spoken about this kind of thing. There are different people, you know, different things make people, different people tick. And far from us to say that this is not going to work, but I'm just saying, as somebody who understands the people in our world, I do worry whether you would feel as if you had fallen short by trying to adhere to a numbers game.
Yeah, I think there's a twist on that kind of same idea as well, is that people say, okay, I'm going to do a month of decluttering. And on day one, I'm going to do one item. And on day two, I'm going to do two. And on day three, I'm going to do three. And you kind of build it up. So I think in principle, that sounds like, okay, at least on day two, I can't get like 27, which you can kind of get into the whole decluttering mode. So at first principle, that kind of looks like, okay, that's not too bad. But I think what happens sometimes is people get so bogged down with the numbers that all of a sudden you see these things come up saying, but I found a box of paper clips. Is that then one item, or can I use the paper clips all as individual items, right? So then it gets all about the numbers and not about the stuff and the items. So again, you know, if you are somebody who regularly declutters and thinks, oh, things have gotten a bit out of whack here and there, this could be a great thing to do. But if you've got a lot of clutter everywhere, this might be, you have to find the six things. You put the pressure on yourself.
I think the thing is as well, Ingrid, I mean, when you look at the, you know, so what you'll see, you know, especially those ones that build up, and particularly the ones that are like a year of decluttering as well. I mean, I don't even know what the numbers are. I couldn't even, as you and I know, we are like the world's worst at maths. And so we wouldn't even like to hazard a guess. But if you go one day one and two on day two, and then you get to day 365, that's a lot. That's thousands of items, right? Yeah. Going out of your house. And I can see that people would cling on to that and go, that's an easy thing for me to do, you know, because it's very kind of like one thing, two things. I can understand the principle of building things up and building up that decluttering muscle, mm-hmm. which we're big advocates as well. And I can understand how you home in on the final number of thousands of items having left your home and think, mm-hmm. I need to declutter thousands of items for my home. So that's a good idea. So I can completely see why people buy into it. But I'm nervous about the execution, the kind of feeling as if you failed elements. But more than anything else, Ingrid, I'm worried about the fact that it's focusing very much on the stuff, the item, and not the reason or the emotional connection to that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's not what we believe is going to give you long-term sustainable mindset change.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, I found a paperclip. I know I have too many paperclips. I am going to donate the paperclip without thinking about, why did I keep paperclips? And have I thought about the way that my life's evolved and actually that I'm completely online now and I don't need those? I mean, paperclips is like a stupid example, right? But do you know what I mean? So we're all about thinking about why. So what is it that's led you to keep that? I mean, obviously you just keep 1,000 paperclips too, because that's just what you do, right? But so it's a very, very bad example, Ingrid. You know,
I'm just worried about if people do it like for a whole year, when did they go on holiday?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, I don't think I could do that every day for 365 days. What do you do when you go on holiday, or when you just don't want to have a day off and just not declutter something?
I think the thing is as well, let's take a step back from here and go, anything that is encouraging people to declutter things from their home and give them a clutter-free, organized life is good in my eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. So if it works for you, go for it. We're not saying don't ever use it, but we're saying think about what that represents. It's a game to do that. It's focusing very much on the stuff. It's focusing again on arbitrary numbers that are prescribed by other people and timescales that are prescribed by other people. And you need to feel in control of your journey. And so I think, you know, you really got to think that through. There was another one that I wanted to talk about, Ingrid, mm-hmm. that popped up when I was looking on the internet, which was called the magic number magic number decluttering or something like that. And essentially you decide a number of items you're allowed to keep before you declutter, and that's the number that you keep. What do we think about that?
Oof. I think that's how do you know in advance what you want to keep and what the right number is?
I think,
That's where I my brain, my if you see my brain out from me, I'm like, my brain is, I think, just I'm confused. How do you do that?
no. So I think, do you know what I think? I think that I want to talk about what we do sometimes with clients, which is different to the way that we do things in the online world. So obviously in an online world, it's very different because numbers are going to work. So if you see something that says 10 things to declutter from your house or declutter 365 things this year, or you're going to home in on that as a kind of quick soundbite sort of hook in. So the online world will take you down that route because you can cling on to the numbers. When we're working in a house with a client, I would, first and foremost, we would go down the route of what is it? So I'll give an example of socks, right? So I had a client who had tons and tons of black socks, and that's evolved over time because she ran out of socks for her kids and blah 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 blah. So there's like hundreds and hundreds of socks in the house, and so we did get to a stage where we had looked at all those things, we gathered them all together, and then what we needed to do was almost do like a confrontational, this is your socks, right? So we gathered all of the socks from the whole of the household together in one place. And honestly, it was like a sock mountain to then go, does that look sensible to you? Because it's kind of nigh on ridiculous. She knows it's ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous. I understand completely how it's evolved and why it's come to that point. But then let's take a step back and go, right, if we're talking about socks here, where are we going to get to that we feel is a sensible number that's not going to make you go into a panic, that's going to give you what you need, that's going to fulfill your laundry requirements and the throughput of your laundry, that's going to give you alternatives for different types of socks, for gym, for walking, for summer, for winter, for skiing, for whatever that is. Because it's not as simple as let me keep 10 pairs of socks, is it? Because you've got different socks for different things and you've got to evaluate all those things. But I think it takes a while to get to that point. So for me, that kind of strategy of a confrontation of the volume of things, which I use sometimes with clients, when we're struggling, so when we're really struggling to make headway, rather than trying to evaluate in a sort of standard way, we might go for what I would call a numbers game at that point, which is like, right, let's think long and hard about what this number needs to be, and let's then work towards that. And so I do think that it works, but I think it comes further down the line. And when I'm working with a client one-to-one in their home, I've already done all of the other strategies, all of the other emotional strategies, and thinking about things in a very structured, calm, measured way, trying to understand what an emotional response is. And then if we're still struggling, then I might get to then a numbers game.
So maybe the problem with this one, the magic number, is that you have to think before you declutter what
Yes.
number you want to keep. The fact that you decide on a certain number at some point, that's not the problem, but you haven't even gone through your house, you haven't gone through your stuff, you haven't looked at your own situation. I mean, if you, for example, look at linen and towels and bedding, a family of five or six will have many more than when it's just the two of you or when you're by yourself, right? So then you can kind of think about in, but you figure that out and you have to indeed put laundry big on that. Are you somebody who is on top of that and who can do it a couple of towels per person because you've got the throughput sorted? Or do you all do sports and you're at the gym and you go swimming and you just need a lot more towels? And those things, I think the situation, your family, your lifestyle all need to be taken into consideration when you decide what is a good number here. And some people might say, you know what, I need with bedding, I want a set on the bed and a set in the cupboard. We get that asked all the time, don't we, Leslie? How many duvet sets or bedding sets do I need to keep? And I'm like, it depends. I mean, I've worked in hotels and we had seven or eight sets because things will be going to the laundry and back and on the bed and in the cupboard and on the trolley. But for me, I don't need seven sets at home. But maybe you're somebody who loves to have a Christmas duvet set and who likes to have a thinner set for the summer. So you want to have two for that. And you want to have, you know what? It just depends. Some people are really warm sleepers and some people are cooler sleepers. You need to have, I have three sets, I think, three or four sets per bed, which is plenty. And my guest bed, I think I've got one, maybe two. because I don't have guests going through here like revolving doors, but enough to have one or maybe two sets. I can't even remember now, but that's for me, that's enough. But if you are somebody who's hosting all the time, who's got family and friends visiting on a very regular basis, you might not be able to cope with one set.
Exactly. So I think the point is that we're trying to make is that there's no number that's right for every single person. So you can't come up with a number that is going to work for you, Ingrid, for me, because I've got two sets for my spare bed, because I go, oh, actually, I might have somebody staying in on a Friday night if it's the kids, and somebody's different staying in on a Saturday night. So I've got to have that throughput, because I'm not going to have it washed and ironed in 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, someone's going to come to me for a week from Holland a couple of times a year, and I know that I've got enough time to get the stuff back on the bed before they come. And so we make decisions based on our lifestyle and our wants. You know, we in our challenge recently, we did our count and confess, which, so we use the numbers game within our challenges as alongside other things, very important, alongside other things, right? And so mugs, you know, if we think about it, there's two people in a house, you know, you're having three cups of tea and you're not washing your cups in between, you know, realistically, six, seven, eight mugs should be enough. It's going to give you enough for a couple of people to come over for a cup of tea. But do people keep eight mugs? No, absolutely not. Because you've got all the sentimental ones, and you've got the different ones. They've got the travel mugs. They've got the this. And it's about what feels right to you at the time. And so using numbers is tricky, which is why all we do with our numbers in our challenge, where we do count and confess, we're not saying there's a right or wrong number. We're saying know your numbers. That's all we want you to do, is to know your numbers. So we're going through that kind of self-confrontation kind of idea. It sounds a little bit kind of harsh, doesn't it? But we want people to understand how many of something they've got, and whether they then, having looked at that, feel that that's a little bit kind of, why have I got 80 pairs of shoes? That seems a bit ridiculous when I'm just wearing two pairs and I just always wear the same ones. Now, what is it about that? And do I feel ready to let some go? Some people have got 250 pairs of shoes and are wearing them. The throughput is there. That's absolutely fine. Some people are like, can't be bothered with shoes. I've got four pairs and I'm happy with that. You know, so there's no right or wrong number for anybody, but it involves evaluation. And that's where numbers can be used as a very useful tool.
Well, well said, Leslie. Why don't we take a break and we'll come back and talk some more. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this podcast where we talk about how you can use numbers to declutter your home. And yeah, we've had quite an interesting conversation about this already, haven't we, Leslie?
Yeah, I hope the message that's come across is that we feel that using numbers in your decluttering journey can be really useful, but it has to sit alongside other deeper thought processes, basically. We use it all the time, don't we, Ingrid? We use numbers in our membership. We do challenges. We do numbers challenges. We do A to Z challenges. We do 10 Things podcasts. Coming up, we've got a 40 Days, 40 Items challenge that we're going to talk about. But basically, we really believe you've got to do other things alongside that. You know, just doing a numbers game is not enough, because you're not going deeply enough to create long-term sustainable mindset change, which is what we're all about. You have to be able to evaluate the emotion that sits behind the stuff, and not just, oh, there's one thing I can get rid of, off it goes. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about our 10 Things podcast and why we think that we cover both angles within that, Ingrid.
I think the 10 Things podcast is for us a way to give food for thought to our listeners. Yes, we talk about, you know, 10 things you can declutter from your bathroom or your kitchen. And of course, it's fun to read, and people, you know, people get back to us all the time. I had this in my kitchen and I've decluttered it now. And yes, I found that in the cupboard. I completely forgot I had it. So it gives an amount of gamification to it. But for us, we would love to make sure that you think about, why is this still lingering in my cupboard? Why have I kept it? Why is it so hard to declutter? Do I feel so guilty about it? Or, oh, why am I keeping this just in case? So we always wear 10 things, not try to go for these are 10 things you should declutter from your house immediately, but more about how to think about this. Is this something that's lingering about, and why is it still there?
Yeah, and we try to choose like left field things sometimes as well that people have not thought about. And more often than not with our 10 Things podcast, we're often talking about the barriers that sit alongside that and why that kind of strange, weird and wonderful thing is still sitting in our home when actually when we look at it, we go, that's a little bit crazy. So our 10 Things podcast is absolutely a 10 Things. But it's more that we would like you to think about those 10 things, because there will undoubtedly be things within our 10 Things podcasts, and there are every week, that people have still got. In fact, that Ingrid and I have still got as well. You know, we do a tally up more recently in our podcast to see how many of the 10 things we've got. And so this is not that you have to get rid of this. It's 10 things that we need you to think about. And that's what that's all about. Yeah. And we're going to do the same thing with our challenge that's coming up, I think, next week, right, Ingrid? Starting in February, to coincide with Lent, we're going to do a 40 days, 40 items challenge. How's that going to look, Ingrid?
Yes, we are super excited because we have done this, I mean, a long time ago, haven't we, Leslie? I think it was actually the year of lockdown that we did this challenge in our Facebook group. And then, of course, lockdown began and everybody went, we kind of went, can we actually talk about the 40 days, 40 items challenge? People have other bigger things to worry about. But the message at the time was, but we love this challenge. And we've decided to bring it back to the Facebook group. So basically, between the 14th of February and Easter, we're going to declutter one item per day. 40 days, 40 items. And for the eagle-eyed among you, you're going to get Sunday off, because otherwise you're going to have more days. So you have Sunday off, just to kind of clarify that. If you're thinking, that's more than 40 days, it is.
Ingrid, honestly, every year we have the same conversation about the 40 days. Ingrid, who was brought up Catholic, by the way, has not got a handle on Lent and what that is and what that represents. And so every year she's like, but it's not 40 days, or that doesn't lend it. When does it finish? I'm like, it finishes the day before Easter, Ingrid. You should know this thing. You shouldn't. But anyway, let's not me get on my soapbox about Ingrid's inability to remember the way that she was brought up back in the day as a good Catholic girl. Anyway, so yeah, 40 days, 40 items challenge. And I think that the nice thing about it in lockdown, and this is proves the case in point, it was a simple way to kind of avoid everything else that was going on, because we did it obviously in March 20, which was right when it was all kicking off. A simple thing to just go one thing a day, let's try and find something. But what we'd really like to do, so what we're going to do within the 40 days, 40 items challenge, Ingrid and I are going to put a video into the Facebook group every day of what we are decluttering and why. The most important thing is the why. Okay, so it's not just here's something that we're getting rid of. It is why, to give you some ideas about things that you might want to get rid of yourselves, and why, and what are the barriers, and what's the emotional response that you've got to that item that has meant that you've kept it. And so, yeah, we're excited to do that. And of course, everybody else is going to come up with some fantastic ideas as well. So it's not just going to be yours, but you will see a video coming into the Facebook group every single day, apart from Sunday, Ingrid.
Yes. And the thing is, Leslie, we know, and I think this is the main message, we know that decluttering is not about the stuff. It's about the emotions that sit behind the item and the 40 days, 40 items. I mean, it just, you know, it rolls off the tongue really nicely. It coincides with Lent. But, you know, maybe one day you will have an item that actually is easier for you. If you look at our video, you think, oh, yeah, I've got that too. That's easy for me. And maybe other days you're like, oh, that item I could never declutter. And that's fine. Maybe you've got something else in your home that you want to declutter for the day. So although it is called a 40 days, 40 items challenge, it's not necessarily about the numbers. And I want to add to that as well. What we see sometimes happening is people going, actually, when I saw that one item, I found another two or three in the same category that I don't need either. So I'm also decluttering those. So you might find a couple of more items per day, but you don't have to.
And what we would like you to do, if you do find other things, is not to be governed by an arbitrary number, one item a day. If you find three things on one day that you want to declutter, let them go all on the same day. Don't hold them off for the next day and the next day. Do you know what I mean? So then you will have done more than for today's 40 items challenge. You might have done 100 items in that time.
Yeah.
So it's all about the gamification and trying to get you encouraged to look at things, to look at the emotions, and to find things in your home that are no longer serving you. Do we think this is an ideal way to declutter your home in its entirety? No. Is it a bit of fun for 40 days? Absolutely. And so we really, really hope that you'll all get involved. So what are the details, Ingrid? It's going to take place in the Facebook group, right? It's going to start on, you said, the 14th of February.
Yeah.
Like a nice little, you know, sign of love for Valentine's Day, Ingrid.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
We're going to do something love-related on day one.
I know. We're going to ignite everybody's love for decluttering. Ooh!
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's it. I'll definitely have to do something love related on day one.
Yeah.
I'll think about that. Maybe Steve's on the firing line. that would start the 40 days, 40 items challenge off with a bang, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Poor Steve. No, don't declutter Steve. We can't have that. You can't declutter one of your children either. I've had enough. You've lived there long enough. You need to go now.
If I decluttered Steve, I would have like thousands of items that went along with him. That would be the best way to declutter my house. But anyway, that's by the by. So that's coming up. We're very excited. So in conclusion, Ingrid, we do think that numbers are a very useful tool when it comes to decluttering, but definitely that sit alongside the real evaluation and structure that you need.
Yes, definitely. So tell us, lovely listeners, have you used numbers in your decluttering before? And have they actually helped or hindered you? Please tell us in the on our YouTube channel in the comments, or send us an email on support@declutterhub.com. I mean, we love it when you get in touch with us. So definitely let us know. And Leslie, before we go, I thought it would be really nice to share a lovely review that we recently got.
Yes.
It was actually talking about YouTube. Somebody left this in on our YouTube channel in the comments, and it's HMY8799. I don't know who that is, but thank you for sending this through.
I feel like she might be called Homie. What do you reckon? HMY. It's probably like Helen something. Yates or something, isn't it? That's probably it. We don't know. She wants to be anonymous, and so why are we trying to think of what her name is? Might not be a she. Who knows?
Right. Well, this person says, I'm so grateful for the show you two put on. It's played an important role in my slowly but surely journey to becoming more organized as an adult living alone with ADHD. You're one of my few go-to podcasts when I need to get motivated while still getting that upbeat attitude from y'all and without having to lose the entertainment factor.
It's someone from the South America because they said y'all.
Yeah, exactly. It's it's people like you two ladies who bring attention to an area of wellness and mental health that is often overlooked in the umbrella that is covered under self-improvement, who are truly making a difference in people's lives. Often those who have already attempted to find happiness via the go-to self-improvement and happiness books, yet didn't find what they were looking for, often because the problem lies within their stuff. It becomes such a relief to finally get to a place where one no longer feels an attachment to the things in our lives, and the way I've learned to change the way I think about my relationship to things has been precisely via podcasts like this one.
Ah, I love that. Thank you so much. That's so nice to share that. That's everything that we aim for, right? A little bit of fun, a little bit of health, a little bit of wellness, self-improvement, but a big focus on the emotional side of decluttering. So thank you so much for taking the time to share that. It really does give us a little boost every time one of these pops into our notifications or our email. So thank you so much.
I know, it's very much appreciated. So if you think I want to let Ingrid and Leslie know how I feel about the podcast, leave us a review.
As long as it's nice. As long as it's nice.
Otherwise, we don't want to know.
Yeah, we want to live here in complete oblivion, basically, don't we? So,
But no, thank you so much. We, you know what, Leslie, we appreciate our listeners so much, right? To be here week in, week out, listening to our little shenanigans, our laughter, and hopefully lots and lots of good advice. So thank you so much for showing up. We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the Declutter Hub podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us in your podcast player so you don't miss an episode, and we'll see you next week.